The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, not the result Bucks fans had hoped for. A 19-point lead and a 19-point margin the Bucks held on a number of occasions. But the physicality of this game did seem to sway in the second half as the Los Angeles Lakers, as we break down the game, almost identical to the last matchup between these two teams in Los Angeles, where the Bucks did hold a lead in that game, and the Lakers came back and made some big plays and big shots down the stretch. Lakers were clearly the more physical team. They were the tougher team. They made the bigger plays at the biggest moments of the game. In the final 34 minutes of this game, but as Doc Rivers said before the game, if we go back to that first performance in Los Angeles, it's a game we really feel like we let get away. And give credit to the Lakers. They took it from us as well, but we let that one get away. And I think that's exactly the way you would sum this one up. Now, I do want to preface with this. Again, it's one regular season game. It's a disappointing result. It's a team that it seemed like, and I know I talked about this quite a bit earlier in the day elsewhere, and the last couple of days, had started to find itself, and it looked like a much different version of the Bucks, and certainly the version of the team we were all hoping to see since Chris Middleton returned. That's all well and good. We've pointed out the reasons for confidence in this Bucks team going into the playoffs. That makes this a little more deflating to see performances like that, but it is worth pointing out. It's one game. It's one game out of 82. These things happen throughout the course of a regular season. It happened last night with a team many would argue is a better team than the Bucks, and the lead was larger in the Boston Celtics, giving up a 30-point lead to the Atlanta Hawks before ultimately losing. But it doesn't make it any easier to swallow. A tough, tough loss tonight for the Bucks on the home floor, place they hadn't lost in almost 2 months, against the Los Angeles Lakers team that for the second time this season you were going against without LeBron James, and for the second time it almost seemingly made the Lakers a better team. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as a few calls are starting to trickle in. We'll get to your thoughts, your takeaways from this one tonight, because this really was a tale of two halves for the Bucks. Almost everything but one statistical category, as we mentioned before, and we'll get to a little bit later in the show, everything but one was going the way of the Bucks in the first 24 minutes, and a lot of that flipped in the second half. We'll get to your thoughts as we continue to break down this loss after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. Forte returns. This is Bucks Talk.
128-124, the final score in double overtime tonight. Los Angeles Lakers come back and stun the Bucks on the home floor, a place they had been very, very good of late. But for whatever reason, this Lakers team has just been a thorn in the side of the Bucks. And I should preface, this Lakers team without LeBron James has been a thorn in the side of the Bucks all season long. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And as I started with, let's not overreact to one game. It's a disappointing result. You never want to lose a game where you hold a 19-point lead. You don't want to go to double overtime in that spot either when you have a lead as large as the Bucks did into the fourth quarter. But it is one game out of 82. And again, I'll point to what happened last night, where the Boston Celtics let a 30-point lead slip away against an Atlanta Hawks team that you could argue is worse than this Lakers team, and they were playing without Trae Young. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. Dick, how are you taking this one?
Not very upset, actually. I got 3 points tonight's game. What the talking heads are going to say, and then I want to get your take on the Miami Heat. Tonight, look, the Lakers really needed it. It's a regular season game. I'm really starting to come around to what Doc says and what the radio play-by-voice guy says. You know, second or third, what difference does it really make? The only question I have about tonight is, to get to the second overtime, Dame drove to the hole. Man, what a little short jumper could have done, or a pass to Giannis. But, yeah, it's a regular season game. I'm not concerned. The talking heads really are starting to bother me. Tomorrow we'll hear all on that you can't trust the Bucks. You can't trust the Bucks. And I think maybe in the regular season, yes. I think Doc, if he would have been here the entire season, he would have been emphasizing not the regular season, but what's going to happen in the coming weeks.
Playoffs,
here.
Yeah.
I think that's where he's at. You know, the game changes. I think, tell me if I'm crazy on this. In my way of looking at this, the playoffs totally change, and it's going to favor the Bucks. Half-court game, much slower. You're not going to be able to speed things up. So that's my second point on this. I still think we're in a good position. But what I'm concerned about, and again, and if you play back your tapes back to when they won the championship, I never want to play Miami, even though when in the championship season we even afford nothing. Have you kept track of their injury report and the guys they're playing? Does the NBA actually challenge some of these things? Butler didn't play tonight with an illness in his head. Is not maybe I missed something there in the NBA, because I look at that, you know, about every five times a day. And Hero hasn't played in weeks,
yeah,
with a sore foot, and Love hasn't played. You know, Spoelstra is not only a master of coaching, but I think he's setting the team up. I don't think he minds the playoffs. I'm sorry, the play-in series. And that concerns me. And I think that might have happened last year, too. So give me some feedback on what I just said.
So the Heat, so I think we're pretty much aligned with the Bucks and our thoughts there. It's one game. I'm not too discouraged by what we saw here. I agree that I think they're set up in a good spot for the postseason and how the game changes because of the half-court offense that you're going to need to produce, that it evaded the Bucks for the last 5 years. Even the year they won the championship, they did not have a great half-court offense. Damian Lillard changes that. The way you use Chris Middleton changes that as well. I think Bobby Portis and the way that Doc Rivers has found ways to use him, that is going to be useful in the half court. I think we're all cognizant of you got to be careful how you use Bobby Portis offensively and defensively in stretches. So nobody's expecting, hey, Bobby Portis is going to be a 35 minutes a game guy and be the X factor in the postseason. But I think that's another one of those pieces you would point to for half court offense. And, you know, speaking of that, I talked about this earlier. The Bucks have the, I believe, sixth best half-court offense in the league against the 10 best defenses. So against the toughest defenses, the defenses you can expect to face in the postseason, their half-court offense has been pretty good. So that's another one of those reasons for encouragement and confidence in their lineups by the numbers. With their five best players on the floor, they've been pretty good. So all of that, I think we're aligned on. The Miami Heat piece. I don't know about fear, but there's a healthy amount of respect. Now, I think, and tell me if you think I'm crazy, if you're the Bucks, I think you should want to play the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs, because we saw that approach
in the championship season.
Right.
Right. But I don't trust them. You know, maybe it's because I've got this gigantic fear, but it doesn't seem to me that they're trying to win games this time of year.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
They're very strategic in how they're playing.
Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy Butler, look at the NBA injury report. I didn't understand it at all. But they really, I mean, Golden State is thinking, and why wouldn't you try to win this game? You can get up to the sixth spot. I don't get it.
Jimmy Butler has missed 22 games this season. Kevin Love has missed 25 games this season. Bam Adebayo has missed 12 games. You mentioned Tyler Hero. He's missed half the season so far. Nikola Jovic has basically missed half the season. Josh Richardson as well. So all of these guys have been out. Now, there have been legitimate injuries, and I think the two biggest that you would point to of, all right, they're clearly preserving them. The biggest is Jimmy Butler. And I think Jimmy Butler himself has basically alluded to this the last few years.
Yeah.
Now, I look, I'm aware of famous last words here. They're not the same Miami Heat team they were a season ago. I understand they've gotten some big, big performances from some of the young guys. You think about what Jaime Jaquez Jr. has brought to them, Nikola Jovic as well. But some of the guys that had a big, big impact on that team last season, they're not there anymore. When you think about Max Strus and what he did, Caleb Martin hasn't played basically at all this season with the Lakers, but he was a big part of, or not Caleb Martin, whom I think Gabe Vincent hasn't played at all this season with the Lakers. Yeah, but he was a huge part.
Justin, I got to say one other thing, too, here. And this just drives me nuts. If TNT hires this guy, you've got to see the replay of Draymond Green jerking back a Miami Heat player and throwing him to the floor tonight. This guy should not be part of the NBA. I forget the name of the player that he threw down. He has not learned anything. He's a disgrace to the NBA. And if TNT hires him, I won't watch any of the pregames at all there. I'll just watch it. This is disgusting. Maybe some of the other callers tonight can back me up on this. It's unbelievable. And he wasn't called for a foul.
Yeah,
I saw
the replay. Yeah, and it was on Patty Mills, who he just jerked down basically by the chin.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Not even part of the play.
Yeah.
This guy is going to hurt someone and stop them from making an income as a basketball player. He's got issues. He should not be in the league.
Well, to finish the point on the Heat, Dick, my take on it is look, there, and it's not to say it's not a prideful group, but there should be that part of pride in you, too, of, look, We didn't go out the way we wanted to a season ago. That was basically the mentality the Bucks brought in 2021, where they said behind closed doors, we want the Heat. You had two approaches to that final game of the season, and they said, no, let's play to win, even if it means we get the Miami Heat. That's what we want. We want to beat them after what happened in the bubble. And the fact that a lot of this team remains from that team 3 years ago, I would be very surprised if that wasn't your approach. Now, it could be a lot different this year in that it's very bunched up that you may not know. Even going into the last day, there could be a number of scenarios at play where even if you win or even if you lose, it could be the Heat, it could be the Sixers, it could be whoever. And the play-in tournament revolves around all that as well. But to me, if I'm the Bucks, you want the Miami Heat, given what happened last year, and you want to show, look, we're a different team. And that's what we're going to build off of on this hopefully long postseason run.
Yeah, but Spoelstra, the Bill Belichick of the NBA, I don't trust them.
Yeah, well, you beat them once.
Yeah, all right. But we lost last year.
Year and every other year in the playoffs, sure.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so, all right, thanks.
All right, Dick, thanks for the call. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, a tough one tonight, a frustrating loss. But keeping the perspective, it's one out of 82 games. The Bucks lose in double overtime to the Los Angeles Lakers, 128-124. More after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
128-124 final here in double overtime. Los Angeles Lakers come back from a 19-point deficit in the final 8 minutes to beat the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Will I Am. You're up next.
Hey, Justin, how are you doing? Hey, man, this is going to be one of the more critical calls I've made, and I got 3 points here that I would like you to answer all three. First one, not pleased at all with passive-aggressive Damian Lillard game tonight. Cool, he scored almost 30 points. Too bad he was shooting 2 for 10 from 3, 6 for 20 from the field. Clearly is not going to cut it. Was not pleased that he didn't want to try to attack the rack. Passive-aggressiveness needs to stop when you're a number one scorer and we're looking for you to score. And for him to throw his hands up demanding contact and fouls in every play, you got to learn to finish around the rim. And tonight that was really apparent. Second, I'm going to need a lot of explanation on this. The sets that Doc Rivers ran from the six-minute mark in the fourth quarter onward, are we playing high school basketball? They did not want to set the screens. They didn't seem like they cared. And some of the possessions, Justin, they didn't even want to score. So when you got that type of attitude, and then the Lakers knocking on the door, challenging, charging, we did not deserve to win that game. And lastly, my biggest concern here, when we're trying to close the games out at the end, and we know that we're going to need to foul hard and we kind of just blend them and walk down the court, we really got to start utilizing our bench. And I know that we've talked about how A.J. Green deserved that spot, but at the end of the game, Ajax should be in the game picking up those fouls so that at the end, we do have a chance from Dame to hit the three. Just not a good way to lose on national television when we should have won by 30.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And that was, to me, one of the bigger things that Doc Rivers said is when you have leads like this, you know you have an opportunity to push it to 30. Right? When you're up by 19, the way we were playing, we knew we had a chance to make that a 30-point lead. And again, it's not to say a 30-point lead means you win the game, because the Celtics saw a 30-point lead evaporate last night. But You let the Lakers off the hook. You let them come back into the game because some of that physicality dropped from the Bucks. I didn't think it was necessarily bad ball movement by the team, and I think when you look at the box score and you see the amount of assists they had, 37 assists and 49 field goals, overall they were moving the ball pretty well. Doc Rivers said he didn't think it was great in the second half. I thought there were clear stretches where it definitely wasn't where it was in the first half. And we talked about this during a break on the radio broadcast. I think the word, if I could use one word to describe the way that the Bucks were playing offensively, it would be purpose. They were playing with a purpose. Their movement was with a purpose. They would reroute and reset plays. Is you know, not that you didn't see it, but you saw far, far less of those instances where you would just have one and done. You saw more of that in the second half. But not just in this game, in the first half, in the last few games, and especially since Chris Middleton has come back. Not to say he's the reason for all of it, but being full strength changes that. But you've seen this team offensively play with more of a purpose, and that there haven't been as many wasted possessions. They're willing to wait and look for the best shot. When you start to set something up in the post, you don't have the matchup you want. You kick it out, you set it up again. We've seen a lot of that. You didn't see as much in the second half. And the Lakers were just physical and aggressive, and their best players had the best performances down the stretch. Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, and Anthony Davis, they were huge in the second half and in both overtimes. That was the difference in this one. But again, it's one out of 82 games, right? If this issue persists in the playoffs, if this issue pops up in New Orleans and on the trip in D.C., in Atlanta, if this becomes the norm down the stretch, then you can come at me with a concern and say, well, this team isn't going very far in the playoffs. But we can't overreact to just one game. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few more calls to get to. Some fans leaving the arena. We'll get to your reaction. And a tough loss. A very tough loss for the Bucks. Again, against a Lakers team in a game that felt very, very similar to that first loss. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Acunet Mortgages.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
128-124, final score in double overtime. Los Angeles Lakers do it to the Bucks again. D'Angelo Russell does it to the Bucks again. But really, Anthony Davis, he was the best player on the floor for the final 34 minutes of this game. A monster stat line tonight from AD. The game-saving block, rejecting Damian Lillard at the end of the first overtime in what would have been the game-winning shot. And Anthony Davis leads all scorers with 34 points, 23 rebounds, and 4 blocked shots in an impressive Lakers come-from-behind victory tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Mike, who is here at Fiserv Forum, heading home. You're up next. What's going on tonight, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, just a bitter loss. Thinking along with everybody, with about that 7-minute mark or so in the fourth quarter, they're just gonna go ahead and take care of business here. It's about the starters, and what happens? We see an epic collapse. Inexcusable tonight. I'm not gonna overreact and say Doc should go, or the Bucks are not gonna be able to win a title. But they should have learned already originally. What happened? This team plays well without LeBron. You already lost to him in L.A. in the same scenario with the big lead, blowing it away. Same situation happened again. You don't take your foot off the gas and you allow this team to get hot. You know they have guys like Russell and Reeves and Anthony Davis who can take over a game because they've played well without LeBron and they're used to it. And you allowed them to pose their will. Now, obviously, there could have been some calls that could have went their way, but they shouldn't have been in the position where a call would be needed because they should have took care of business in the fourth quarter. And to do everything to basically allow the Lakers to take over the game and force it. And then in overtime, just horrendous offense. It was painful to watch. I mean, neither team could get anything going, but, I mean, Reeves got going there. So just all in all, just a bad night in a game you should have taken care of, especially since they just beat one of the elite teams in the league. They pounded them in Oklahoma City. And to come back with this effort tonight when you should have been cruising to another victory here. Doc hopefully wakes these guys up, and they might have needed this because they've been playing well as of late. But these are the type of wins you got to put away. And obviously coming down the stretch here into the playoffs, hopefully this was a wake-up call because you can't allow this. Inexcusable. And hopefully it's one game, I know that, but still it's you're at home and you don't want to have these type of games. When it really counts there in the playoffs here. So hopefully you guys got their wake-up call. And finally, late-game situations. Dame's really – that's why he's here. You've got to make those shots, man. If it's not going to be Dame, then it's got to be Giannis attacking the rim. Obviously, he's got to try to hit his free throws because that killed him a little down the stretch as well. So Dame has got to be that kind of scenario. It's got to be Dame time. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And it's a good point to bring up, too, is, look, this is not a blame the officiating show, as we pointed out a number of times. It's not just one thing that decides the game. I couldn't agree more with Mike that I think there were some questionable calls down the stretch. There was a lot of physicality allowed in the first half. Didn't seem as consistent with the whistle in the second half, but the larger point is you shouldn't have been in that spot. There were things you could have done along the way to avoid getting to that point and really avoid watching a 19-point lead in the final 8 minutes of this game evaporate, and the Los Angeles Lakers do it to the Bucks again tonight at Fiserv Forum. So you go back to the 8-minute mark. It was 94-75 Bucks. Los Angeles Lakers in 18 minutes of game time would score 53 points, outscoring the Bucks 53-30 and winning this game tonight by 4 points. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, a disappointing loss for this Bucks team who now has 10 games remaining this season. So we'll take a look at those remaining games and the remaining schedule for two very important teams. I suppose three we should lump in one or more to keep an eye on. The Cavaliers, the New York Knicks, and maybe the dark horse, the Orlando Magic. We'll take a look at the remaining slate for all of those teams after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now. Disappointing loss tonight for the Bucks in double overtime, falling to the Lakers 128-124. So again, as we take a look at the standings, the Bucks are still two games up on the Cavaliers for the two seed in the East. The New York Knicks are a half game behind the Cavs. And then you have the Orlando Magic that you cannot rule out at 42-29. So what this means, as we've gone over a number of times, you will not win the tiebreaker if you finish with the same record as the Cavaliers. Cleveland is going to win the tiebreaker because of their divisional record. So what that means is in the 10 remaining games for the Bucks, 5 are at home, 5 are on the road. You have some challenges on that schedule, but you have a stretch coming up after this game Thursday against New Orleans where you would point to 4 consecutive games that you feel like you need to win these. New Orleans on the road is going to be tough. Then you're in Atlanta. Hawks are going to be without Trae Young. You're in D.C. against the Wizards. You come home for a 5-game homestand that begins with games against the Grizzlies and against the Toronto Raptors. Those are 4 games, I'm not going to say must win, very winnable games that you should win. If you do that, it puts you in an incredibly good spot. And the Bucks are already in a pretty good spot. But let's say the Bucks go 5-5 in those final 10 games, which should be more than doable with this schedule. If you go 5-5, it means the Cavaliers would need to go 7-3. To match your win total and finish tied with you. And again, that's all they need to do is tie the Bucks to finish in front of them by way of the tiebreaker. So 5-5 puts you in a spot where the Cavs have to go 7-3. Of the Cavs' 10 remaining games, 6 of them are on the road, and it includes a West Coast road trip in Denver, in Utah, in Phoenix, and in L.A. against both the Lakers and the Clippers. They have the 76ers on the schedule yet. They have the Indiana Pacers towards the end of the season. They have some easy games, 2 of them against the Charlotte Hornets. We mentioned the Utah Jazz. But a tough, tough 6-game road trip, or 5-game road trip, I beg your pardon, for the Cavaliers. So it is not an easy schedule that the Cavaliers have left. If you go 5-5, it means the New York Knicks would need to go 9-2 to move past you. Because, again, you have the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Knicks. Knicks have the Boston Celtics on their schedule, the Miami Heat. They have 3 games with the Chicago Bulls. The Oklahoma City Thunder are on there. The Orlando Magic may be the dark horse here, because you've only played them once. They won that game. They've had one of the easier second-half schedules in the league. So again, Magic would need to go 9-2, and at least one of those 9 wins would need to be against the Bucks. That would give them the head-to-head tiebreaker, so you could finish tied and still finish in front of the Bucks. That's a lot to ask, to win 70% or more of your games down the stretch against teams that are fighting for their playoff livelihood. And again, to me, those 4 games are going to be the most critical for the Bucks after Thursday. In Atlanta, in D.C. against the Wizards, home against the Grizzlies, home against the Raptors. They're your easiest 4 games left on the schedule. If you win those 4 games, then we're talking finishing 6-4 or better. If you do that, again, Cavs would have to go 8-2. Knicks would need to go 10-1. Magic would need to go 10-1. So if you can get to 6 wins in these final 10 games, which isn't asking much, you're in a very, very good spot. Next game is Thursday night in New Orleans against the Pelicans. It's a 7 o'clock tip-off. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.